Licht, mehr Licht. So they said Goethe dying words were. The poet was born and lived most of his life in the so-called Age of Enlightenment. In those last words, there are two meanings implicit. To reason is to enlighten, and to see is to understand. We cast light on things to see better. We reason to understand more. Nevertheless, every metaphor has its limits. And it's not always true that more light can make us see better. The surface of the sun cannot be seen. And it's not because lack of light, but the other way around. Can it be that there are things that can be better understood by reasoning less?
This is the year of 1955. This is the voice of Maria Sabina, an indigenous wise woman who introduced Westerners to the healing ceremony in Brussels. The recording was done by Gordon Wasson and her wife, Tina, in the early 50s, they traveled to Huautla de Jiménez in Mexico to research sapiens. They met Maria Sabina and asked her to give them the medicine. But they wanted to know their son whereabouts. The Mazatecs only used the medicine when there was a problem or a illness to cure. Quote, before Wasson, nobody took the children simply to find God. They were always taken
Later,
Wasson admitted he lied to Sabina, since he was not looking for anyone. The Wasson's collected spores of what they named Psilocybe mexicana and took them to Europe. There,
after this first balada, the Wasson's published their experiences in men's medicine. Wasson wrote for Lord Magazine, seeking the magic mushrooms, and Valentina published
The following years, hundreds of hippies were traveling to Huautla looking for Maria Sabina and studying the magic or hallucinogenic mushrooms. Everything was fucked up for the tradition, for Maria Sabina, and for the mushrooms itself. Because since they entered mainstream culture, the modern world started calling them drugs and treated like them. Other sacred plants such as peyote or ayahuasca have met the same fate. It seems that the Wasson's research in Huautla was funded by the CIA, as part of its mind control project, MK Ultra. Maria Sabina was blamed by her community for having told outsiders about the mushroom ceremony. Wassons maintained that his sole ambition was to contribute to the sum of the human knowledge. The Swiss pharmaceutical company Sandoz marketed the psilocybin synthesized by Albert Hofmann in tablet form. Derivatives of psilocybin mushrooms are now patented and generate millions in profits. Neither Maria Sabina nor the Mazatec people benefit from this exploitation. Maria Sabina regrets having taught the Wassons how to use the mushrooms. She was as well opposed to the lack of respect shown by the hippies towards the sacred and traditional uses of the holy children, Los Niños Santos. Wasson published books and articles in mainstream magazines and recorded and edited Maria Sabina songs, all without her knowledge. In modern Western culture, Wasson went down in history as the discoverer of the power of sacred mushrooms. There is a kind of sacred mushroom named by scientists Psilocybin wassonensis that is known called Psilocybin sabinensis.
Okay, can you tell me where the German is in this photo? Kann ihr ein Plattdeutscher finden? I wonder what it was like for my grandma to emigrate from Germany to Mexico at a time when if you move from one place to another, you really had to leave everything behind. I wonder what it was like for Billy to translate Mexican cosmogony into his own and vice versa. Whether it is possible to translate between cultures, or whether there is simply a gap that cannot be bridged. Very often there is this gap we try to fill with our imagination, prejudices, or the closest equivalent we can find in our culture. My grandfather was working for a German pharmaceutical company stationed on New Orleans. He had to travel from New Orleans to Veracruz. Those were the most important ports on the Gulf of Mexico at the time, and they still are. Veracruz is on the Mexican side of the border, of course. There probably is sometime around, he probably met my grandmother, and they fell in love, and he decided to stay in Mexico. And he had to travel between Veracruz and Mexico City. In those days, that travel took more than one day. It was a long travel by railroad and horse. So he at some moment had to stop to eat something, and he was becoming very fond of this Mexican dish that is called mole. It's a very complex sauce made of many ingredients, which is very messy to eat. You always end up with your clothes stained if you are not indigenous Mexican, of course. And he was given no cutlery in the place that he ordered this. So he complained to the lady in charge, and the lady looked him straight in the eye and said, "Fork, here is your knife," and with some maize tortillas said, "And here are the spoons." It was not common to have cutlery in Mexico at the time, and mole is still eaten that way nowadays in Mexico. I cannot do it. I end up completely messed. Parallelly, there's this story about one of the first Westerns who took the medicine in a ritual context guided by Mazatec people. He wondered whether there are words in English or any other European language to describe the state of being bemushroomed, referring to the state he entered after taking the medicine. He argues that the Western world has equated the experience of being drunk with that of being on mushrooms, simply because this experience looks similar from the outside. He reflects that this is a cognitive error, as the experience of being on mushrooms is as different from one of being drunk as night is from day. So the problem is that in English or any other European language, there are no words to describe the state of being on mushrooms, and that all the descriptions used for being drunk, like the word intoxicated, which literally means poisoned, are contemptuous, belittling, pejorative. So right from the very words used to describe being bemushroomed, there is a profound misunderstanding, as well as a lack of respect in using pejorative terms to describe something we do not understand. He states how curious it is that modern civilized man finds surcease from care in a drug from which he seems to have no respect. If we use by analogy the term suitable for alcohol, we prejudge the mushroom. And since there are few among us who have been mushroomed, there is danger that experience will not be fairly judged. What we need is a vocabulary to describe all the modalities of a divine inebriant. We truly believe that it is much more than just a problem with words we use. It runs much deeper. It is a problem with our worldview and the ways in which we think and feel in the world. Because depending on your worldview, you may see something as a drug or as a powerful being.
In ancient times, plants of beverage that alter our state of mind were considered sacred. For example, tobacco or coca leaf, or even alcohol itself. Nowadays, not only are these plants no longer considered sacred, but they have been the base to their massive use, industrial production, and above all, because they are regarded as drugs. This is a very significant shift in mindset that has led us to an alienated relationship with what was once sacred. My herbalist teacher used to tell this story. It's the story of a Mayan elder, an abuelo, Carlos Castillejos. One day, when he was young, he went to see some Mayan abuelos. At that time, he really liked smoking. When he was standing in front of the elders, one of them said to him, "Look, I want to tell you something. You are young, you are quite young, and the truth is that, well, sometimes you think a little bullshit and you say things that are completely irrelevant. And well, you don't have good control over your mind. I don't mean to be rude. I'm just telling you this as an observation. Because when you are smoking, everything you are saying and thinking, you are praying it. So you are very young, don't smoke. If you can't control your mind, and you can't control what you are saying, don't smoke, because you are praying all of that." So the main idea with this abuelo is that there are some plants with a lot of power, and you have to be aware of the use, or better, the relationship you have with them, because the power is always there, even if you are unaware of that. Because consuming these plants is not merely about introducing an active substance into your body, but about connecting with an entire reality that requires a map. That's why it's not the same thing take the synthetic psilocybin instead of the whole mushroom. And the ancient cultures that have a deep connection with these sacred plants have chartered this experience. So all the members of these communities possesses a map of what this experience entails. This map enables them to navigate the experience and comprehend it with their whole being. Taking the medicine is therefore part of their culture, because every aspect of their lives is informed by this map. Without that map, it is easy to lose one's way, which is what happened to the vast majority of Westerners and mestizos. The main point is their worldview and their understanding of our place on Earth are intertwined with the experience of coming into contact with these plants. The use of entheogens is embedded in that cultural map which the members of that tradition carry within them. Here we can see an image of the Tlalocan. This is an ancient mural painting in Mexico. It's in the very ancient city of Teotihuacan. And it's considered to be one of the earliest records of medicinal plants.
Listo. The Western practice of consuming isolated and synthesized active substances has led modern psychiatry, primarily in the US, to describe psilocybin capsules to enhance your performance, and has spurred a great deal of research into how these power plants can be exploited in a true capitalist style, where the sole aim is profit, profit, and profit. Something smells not quite right in the academic research, too. It is like the Western way of doing science is adjudicating itself with the knowledge of the people that had worked with these entheogens during hundreds, thousands of years. The authors of the papers were discovering the medicinal aspects of the holy mushrooms, of ayahuasca, of peyote, publishing brightly colored graphics that show the regenerative power of these substances, basically repackaging in contemporary Western technical language what was already known to the medicine people of the Americas. Opening neuronal pathways sounds more objective than opening your visions to others. Neurogenesis and connectivity is more precise than healing your soul. We also feel that this approach lacks something fundamental. It's again a human brain-centered perspective, where the only thing that matters is how to make it profitable for humans, the intake of certain substances. Nothing about the ecosystem, nothing about the entanglement among beings. Plants, mushrooms, animals, humans, elements, forces, which results not only in the exploitation of nature, but also of our own human brain. One consequence of the West kidnapping of these plants was a thorough examination of the physical characteristics. As the modern world loves to do, these beings were dissected and fragmented into little pieces that matter and pieces that don't. The first ones were called active substances, and they matter because they act on us in a way that we consider useful, within an utilitarian framework, so to speak. Of course, the discovery of the active substance reinforced the perspective of calling them drugs. If we situate ourselves from a different perspective, one where these sacred plants and beings and any other thing are seen as whole beings and not a collection of profitable and not profitable parts, we have to ask ourselves what will be their biological role. They have been around for millennia, for millions of years. It makes no sense that they were waiting for us to use their power. Makes it? In psychotherapy, or to boost our brain to be more productive, or to party the whole night. There is an idea that says the role of these sacred plants is to modulate the behavior of all organisms in an ecosystem in the event of a threat or when the ecosystem is under pressure. These plants achieve this by altering the perception of all the creatures with which they share their ecosystem. For example, in the event of stress in the forest, a mushroom releases psilocybin, which travels through the mycelium, which is connected to practically all the organism around it, plants, animals, trees, reorganizing and changing their behavior to respond to the situation and restore the balance. So, it's the wisdom of the fungi that matters, not the active ingredient on its own. It's the fungi themselves that know what the forest needs or whether it is in danger in the first place. For example, in the context of the ritual use of mushrooms, what is most appreciated is how the wisdom of the mushroom itself, as a whole living being, can help us to heal. We receive guidance from the mushroom. Psilocybin is merely a vehicle, a tool. Much of what they do at the ecosystem level is what they do within us, helping us to reorganize ourselves internally to face complex situations, to see reality in a different light. And even they help us to see other realities beyond human reality. For us, this could be one of the most important things they can do for humans, free ourselves from our anthropocentric perspective. They transform what we feel and see, creating new neural connections, new thoughts, and new ways of looking at life. They broaden our understanding, enabling us to see from their perspective. We might think that they have the same effects that power plants have on their ecosystems are the ones they have on us. Analogous movements across different dimensions. If we go further in this mindset, we arrive to something that indigenous people already knew for thousands of years. The woods and the forests are alive. They are connected to their inner self. They have a spirit and they have a consciousness, like us.
It is one, it is unity, it is ourselves. This is the title of this painting. It's a Wirarika painting, Huichol. And these are the words of Ramon Medina Silva, a wise man, a medicine man. This is an image from the Codex Florentino, where the 16th century Spanish friar Bernardino de Sahagún denounced the use of sacred mushrooms by the Aztecs, who called them Teonanacatl, meaning flesh of God. The wondrous mushroom. This drawing from Sahagún's chronicle depicts a demon-like spirit dancing on mushrooms. The first to condemn sacred plants were Catholic priests who described them by their satanic trickery, horrible visions, diabolic fantasies, and frightful or laughable visions. Then, mainstream culture has used words like hallucinogenic, magic, or psychedelic to describe these plants. But all of these descriptions focus on ourselves and our human minds. It's as if we could define everything around us by using our presence as the measure of all things. To term an experience as hallucinogenic, that is, as it appears before my eyes, reduces it, taking away its potential. When I say something makes me hallucinate, I put all the attention in what happened in my mind. I define things by their effects on me. Everything starts and ends with me. And a hallucination in my mind is by definition unreal and dreamlike. Makes a distinction between the inside and the outside. It is an easy way to discredit the agency of the mushroom itself and its singularity as a whole being. Perception is merely a gateway to how we interpret the world. The visual aspect is a small part of the perception. Focusing on the idea that these visions are what matter, or that transforming our perception is what matters, has led us to many misconceptions about what this practice or this encounter is really about. Contrary to the interpretation of the Catholic priest of the conquest, which is very similar to that of Western scholars on the subject, It is not about going to the cinema to watch moving images.
I will paraphrase you a story about, I think, Canadian anthropologist that lived among the pygmies for some time. Following the Western tradition, I will not give credit to him. Very far from the camp, the anthropologist notices. It was the first time I had known a group of pygmies to be so silent. Normally, unless hunting, they are deliberately noisy. But now, just at the time leopards will be prowling about in search of food, they seem unwilling to disturb the forest or the animals it concealed. Just the opposite, in fact. It was as they were part of the silence and the darkness of the forest itself, and were only fearful lest any sound might betray their presence to some person or thing not of the forest. They stood there, quiet and still, and it struck me with a sudden shock that no one of them carried a spear or bow and arrow. They had no weapons. As they peered into the dusk and cooked their head first on this side, then on that, satisfying themselves that what we were really alone, it seemed that they felt themselves so much part of the forest and of all the living things in it, that they had no need to fear anything except that which was not part of the forest. One of them said to me later, "When we are children of the forest, what need have to be afraid of it? We are only afraid of that which is outside the forest."
Now I want to invite you to do a practice, a brief practice. So I will ask you to lay down if you are not already on the floor. Find a comfortable position and just feel the weight of your body. Making a scan of your whole body. Just observing any particular sensation. It could be tiredness, tension, or could be something positive like happiness or relax. And now I will ask you to focus on your chest area. And inside of your chest area, please put attention to your heart and the feeling that is inside of your heart right now. Without judgment, you are only making an observation, you are only being aware of your sensations. Maybe you can feel your heartbeat. Maybe you don't. It's okay. You don't have to achieve anything. You just have to observe. And in case you don't feel anything, it's okay also. Just connect with this area. And you can also use your imagination. If you can't feel super clearly, you can Use your imagination. How is your heartbeat? And now I will ask you to amplify this sensation, these feelings to your whole body, as if your heart has grown to encompass all your body, till your skin. So bring these sensations to your whole body. If you can do this, you can imagine this. So don't feel like you have to achieve anything. And now I will invite you to amplify a little bit more this sensation so you can go beyond your body, beyond your skin. And with this sense, the sense of your heart, you will feel what's next to you. Maybe you can feel another bodies. Maybe you can feel the ground and the soil. Maybe you can feel the walls or even the wind. And maybe you can feel also the sky. And it's like you have grown huge. And your body is huge and your heart is huge. So these sensations are amplified in a way that you are not used to in the everyday life. So I want you to explore this sensation, this experience, to dive in without judgment. You are free to move wherever you want. If you don't want to go far from you, it's okay. If you want to go far, it's okay. Just do what is good for you right now. Now I will invite you to come back with your attention to your chest area. Little by little, don't rush. You are just taking your awareness from the distance to your heart. And now you are invited to remain in this position if this is good for you. You can also sit down. You can have your eyes closed or open, whatever you want. And we are going to the last part of this performance. siento mi corazón y la zona de mi pecho como si tuviera un remolino enorme ahí.
Ich spüre mein Herz in meiner Brust, als ob dort ein riesiger Strudel wäre.
Una fuerza en forma de espiral se mueve sobre mi piel.
Ein spiralförmiges Kraft bewegt sich über mein Haut, mein
Mi corazón se mueve y gira.
Mein Herz bewegt sich um und dreht sich.
Es algo acuoso y neblinoso, y al mismo tiempo frío y caliente.
Es ist etwas Wässriges und Nebelhaftes und gleichzeitig kalt und heiß.
Mi corazón está muy vivo y hay mucha agua en mis ojos.
Mein Herz ist sehr lebendig und hat viel Wasser in meinen Augen.
Tengo frío. Casi desde el inicio del viaje tengo mucho frío y me siento mojada.
Mir ist kalt, fast schon seit Beginn der Reise. Mir ist sehr kalt und ich fühle mich nass.
Es como si estuviéramos debajo de una intensa lluvia.
Es ist, als wir unter einem heftigen Regenguss stünden.
Estoy sobre la cama y me cubro lo más que puedo, pero el frío no se me quita.
Ich liege auf dem Bett und decke mich so gut wie es geht, aber die Kälte lässt mich nicht ach.
Ni tampoco la sensación de humedad alrededor.
Auch nicht das Feuchtigkeitsgefühl um mich herum.
Estamos rodeados por agua.
Wir sind vom Wasser umgeben.
Estamos en medio de un foso.
Wir befinden uns mitten in einer Grube.
En medio de un río que se ensancha hasta hacerse un lago.
Inmitten eines Flusses, das sich zu einem See ausweitet.
Te siento agarrando algo, no queriendo soltar, rumiando.
Ich spüre, wie du etwas festhältst, es nicht loslassen willst, darüber nachgrübelst.
Te digo que sueltes, que estamos rodeados de agua.
Ich sage dir, lass los, wir sind vom Wasser umgeben.
Puedes soltar, nadie va a ver nada de lo que liberes dentro del agua.
Du kannst loslassen, niemand wird etwas von dem sehen, was du im Wasser freigibst.
El agua se va a llevar cualquier cosa que tengas que soltar. Para eso está aquí, para llevarse cosas.
Das Wasser wird alles mitnehmen, was du loslassen musst. Dafür ist es da, Dinge mitzunehmen.
Me levanto. Un hambre tremenda aparece.
Ich stehe auf. Ein ungeheurer Hunger überkommt mich.
Parece que no he comido en varias vidas.
Es kommt mir vor, als hätte ich seit mehreren Leben nichts mehr gegessen.
Recuerdo que hice muchos caminos muy difíciles en los que tenía que seguir para llegar al final.
Ich erinnere mich, dass ich viele sehr beschwerliche Wege zurückgelegt habe.
No me podía detener.
Denn ich folgen musste, ans Ziel zu gelangen. Ich konnte nicht halten.
No tenía que comer tampoco, tenía que seguir.
Ich hatte auch nichts zu essen, denn ich musste weitergehen.
No era solo por mí, sino por toda mi tribu.
Es ging nicht nur um mich, sondern um meinen ganzen Stamm.
Por mis hijos.
Um meine Kinder.
Por ti.
Dich.
He pasado mucha hambre a lo largo de varias dimensiones.
Ich habe großen Hunger gelitten, quer durch verschiedene Welten.
Voy por más comida, como bestia feroz devoro. Necesito alimentar.
Ich gehe los, mehr zu essen. Wie ein wildes Tier verschlinge ich. Ich muss mich ernähren.
Tú sabes que soy voraz. Tú sabías quién era y por eso me escogiste. Nadie te engañó.
Du weißt, dass ich unersetzlich bin und deshalb hast du mich ausgewählt. Du wusstest, wer ich war und deshalb hast du mich ausgewählt. Niemand hat dich getäuscht.
Me seguiste por muchas dimensiones hasta alcanzarme.
Du bist mir durch viele Welten gefolgt. Du bist mich, bis du mich einholtest.
Vagamos por muchísimos lados. Me llevas por muchos lugares en los que hemos estado antes.
Wir irren an unzählige Orten umher. Du führst mich an viele Orte, an denen wir schon einmal waren.
Caminamos sin parar durante horas, días, semanas.
Wir laufen unterlass, stundenlang, tagenlang, wochenlang.
Me llevas a lugares donde tuviste un dolor profundo. En esos momentos te desintegraste.
Du führst mich an Orten, denen du tiefen Schmerz empfunden hast. In diesem Zeitpunkt des Schmerzes bist du zerfallen.
Partes tuyas se fueron quedando varadas, perdidas.
Und Teile von dir bleiben zurück, verloren.
Me llevas a caminar por lugares infinitos que no acaban nunca, buscándote.
Du führst mich auch durch unendliche Weiten, die du niemals enden, auf der Suche nach dir.
Estamos en un bosque lluvioso, junto a una barranca.
Wir sind in einem regenden Wald, neben einer Schlucht.
Hemos estado muchas veces ahí.
Wir waren schon oft dort.
Estás buscando partes de ti que se han quedado desperdigadas.
Du suchst nach Teilen von dir, die verstreut zurückgeblieben sind.
Pero a todos lados que vamos, alguien nos cuida, alguien nos protege.
Aber überall, wo wir hingehen, kümmert sich jemand um uns, jemand beschützt uns.
Nos dan comida, nos dan amor.
Man gibt uns Essen, man schenkt uns Liebe.
Somos amados.
Wir werden geliebt.
Nunca estamos solos, nunca lo hemos estado.
Wir sind niemals allein. Das werden wir noch nie.
Nunca han permitido que nos hagan daño.
Man hat nie zugelassen, dass uns etwas zustößt.
Mira cómo te aman.
Schau, wie sehr dich lieben.
Construyeron este techo para que te pudieras guarecer de la lluvia.
Sie haben dieses Dach gebaut, damit du Schutz vor der
del viento,
vor dem Wind,
del sol,
vor der Sonne findest.
Mira el techito que te construyeron.
Schau mal dir das Dächtchen, das sie für dich gebaut haben.
Mira cómo te aman.
Schau, wie sehr sie dich lieben.
Estoy muy cansada de tanto caminar.
Ich bin sehr müde von vielen Laufen.
Durante años te he acompañado a todos lados a buscarte.
Jahrelang habe ich dich überall hin begleitet, um dich zu suchen.
Durante años te llevé conmigo a donde fuera. Me llevaba tu alma y la alimentaba.
Jahrelang habe ich dich mitgenommen. Wohin auch immer, deine Seele habe ich mitgenommen und ich habe sie genährt.
Recorría ciudades enteras contigo a cuestas.
Ich durchstreife Städte mit dir an dem Rücken.
Andaba en bici por todos lados para conocer lugares a donde pudiera llevarte cuando vinieras.
Fuhr mit dem Fahrrad überall hin, um Orte zu entdecken, die dich mit dich mitnehmen könnte, wenn du kommst.
Comía la comida que te gustaba para que la disfrutaras.
Aß das Essen, das du magst, damit du es genießen konntest.
Incluso la comida que a mí no me gustaba, la comía por ti.
Sogar das Essen, das ich selbst nicht mochte, aß ich für dich.
Regresé aquí porque eras mi tierra.
Ich bin hier zurückgekommen, weil du meine Heimat
porque
warst.
Eres mi tierra.
Weil du meine Heimat bist.
Seguimos por todos lados. Me llevas a todos lados. Ya no puedo más.
Wir laufen weiter überall hin. Du nimmst mich überall hin mit.
Sabías que te iba a poder acompañar a donde tuvieras que ir, por muy lejos que fuera.
Du wusstest, dass ich dich überall hin begleiten würde, wohin du auch gehen müsstest.
Sabías que podíamos atravesar los lugares más difíciles.
Du wusstest, dass du mit mir die schwierigsten,
más duros,
härtesten,
más dolorosos,
schmerzhaftesten,
más peligrosos,
ungefährlichsten Orte durchqueren konntest.
Sabías que era lo suficientemente fuerte y valiente.
Du wusstest, dass ich stark und mutig genug war.
Hemos atravesado juntos todas las dimensiones, todos los umbrales.
Wir haben gemeinsam alle Welten durchquert, alle Schwellen.
Estás acostado en el piso y yo en la cama.
Du liegst auf dem Boden und ich auf dem Bett.
Te pregunto si ya lograste juntar todas tus partes.
Ich frage dich, ob du es schon geschafft hast, alle deine Körperteile wieder zusammenzufügen.
Tenemos que continuar y ya no hay tiempo de seguir dando vueltas.
Wir müssen weitermachen und haben keine Zeit mehr, um zu dauern.
Hay que meterse a la cama.
Wir müssen jetzt ins Bett.
Nos quitamos la ropa y nos cubrimos.
Uns ausziehen, zu decken.
Nos abrazamos para intentar dormir.
Wir umarmen uns, um zu versuchen einzuschlafen.
Mis intestinos no dejan de moverse.
Mein Darm hört nicht auf, sich zu bewegen.
Y siento como la medicina está soltando todo lo que estaba atorado en mí.
Und ich spüre, wie das Medizin alles loslöst, was in mir versteckte.
Na Santo, 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 Sant